6 does that, and we don't hear any dogs barking yet, and we don't hear any such talking, and so we're all seem to be lined up on the same tune here with God and His Word that we're going to be speaking about here today. So I will get my notes out, and we are going to be giving a sermon here. I am, and I just want to mention here before I really start the sermon, I have heard many of you have heard me say. Many of you have recently heard me say that Joyce and I have been married for 65 years. I can't believe that I'm even that old and older to be able to say I've been married for 65 years. Maybe some of you have been married a whole lot longer than that, and maybe a few years shorter than that. So you can see the area I'm addressing here, that we're going to be addressing here today, is a area between those times. You know, there's a question I want to begin here with on the sermon is, what is the score of love in your marriage? What is the score of love in your marriage? Well, stop and think about that question. Is it on a scale of 1 to 10, how much love are you giving in your marriage? Are you a 3, maybe a 6, perhaps a rare 10? You know, God commands married couples, that is, to love one another and to increase their grade. And this is what we're going to be doing here today, looking to evaluate our own grade. And like I said, from a 1 to a 10, you have the choice of in those 10 numbers to pick. And by the time we're into the sermon, you can roughly see what kind of a score you scored, and I too would see what kind of a score I scored. Well, God inspired the Apostle Paul to instruct husbands to love their wives. It is very clear spelled out for us that in Ephesians 5:25. Paul also taught that wives should love their husbands in Titus 2 and verse 4. So God has a lot to say about marriage, and that's what we're going to be talking about as well here today. You know, God created marriage to be a most joyous, love-fulfilled relationship. It shouldn't be a battlefield every day when you get up. You know, unfortunately, many husbands and wives are not actually loving one another. Their grade is dangerously low. You know, they endure loveless marriages and the pain of misery it brings. But God wants husbands and wives to be happy lovers. Happy lovers. Happy sent, heaven sent lovers. So do you remember your marriage covenant? Since we're talking about this, do you ever think about what the minister said? I think most probably can't think of it because they're pretty much nervous and you're standing there before the minister to be married, and that is on your mind, but not what he is saying to you, but he's got you rehearsed ahead of time to know the answers to the question that he might would be asking. But those wedding vows are very, very important to keep in our lives, to keep in our thoughts. Do you then, husbands, put your name there? Do you then faithfully promise and a covenant with God in the presence of these witnesses to take, and your wife's name there goes, to be your lawful wedded wife in sickness and in health, in good times and difficult times, as long as both shall live, to love her, cherish her, honor her, and provide for her? There's a lot of things to be thinking about there within those marriage vows. You know, the same questions are asked of the wife to be, but adding there in God's word, it says, submit yourself to him. So the wife has that responsibility all by herself to submit herself to him. So if you said I do in the commitment I just read you in a marriage vows, God will solidify your marriage and place it on a firm foundation. A firm foundation, not a weak one or a wiggly one, wobbly one. You know, God wants our marriage to be brimful and running over with real, deep happiness of joy. You know, the first way to love your mate is with the love expressed in the Greek word agape. Strong's number 26 in the Greek lexicon, a word that we don't really give much sermons on, and this sermon will deal a lot with this agape word. So it's something that you need to have an understanding of it and why God has it in His Word for us to read as we read through much of His instruction book for life. So this is a word translated in 1 Corinthians 13. It's translated as love, or in the authorized version, charity. Agape means unconditional, unselfish giving of oneself. Hard thing for human beings to do, but it can be accomplished. In marriage, agape love could be defined as a willful commitment to give to your imperfect mate, that is, without expecting to get something in return. That sometimes is very hard to do. In marriage, that is, you consciously, under the circumstances, make a lifelong commitment, as we just read, to never stop giving to your mate. You know, God is a rock from which agape flows. God is the rock from which agape flows. You know, He is the source of the force and will give us the power that is to overcome all obstacles in a marriage that pops up. And you know, they pop up every day. Something Satan has found out, a little weakness, and tries to break in there and disturb things. But in your marriage, your union must begin with God. The Apostle John wrote in John 1 and verse 3, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." That's in 1 John 1 and verse 3. The joy of agape will be added to your marriage if you first fellowship with God, you know, through Bible study, prayer, and obedience to God's commandments. You know, we all gain access to agape love through God's Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 conveys that to us. It says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." The Holy Spirit is given unto us, that helper, that comforter that we so often call out for, because we need comforting. We need get tired of Satan. He wears us down. We need a break. But God will be at the center of our marriage, giving it strength through that very force that God has used, and that's His Holy Spirit. And that His Holy Spirit is to be in our life. Daily in our life. You know, God plus husband plus wife equals one is agape-filled marriage. God plus husband plus wife equals one is agape-filled marriage. You know, this is a missing formula for success in so many marriages. You know, as you submit to God's laws concerning marriage and other human relations, God will release the power of agape love to you, which helps us to willfully choose to love our mate. You know, the society, this world and its society, presents a false, damaging picture of love doing the controlling. In this false picture of love captures and enslaves you. You are then hopeless, a prisoner of love, unable to control your feelings. You know, have you heard married people say, "I cannot love him anymore. The feeling's gone. It's dead." You know, in truth, you choose to love or not to love. But agape is not a feeling, but a conscientious, conscious, and willful act each of us control. It's a choice. You know, God's word is so filled with choices. This is one of them. God commands us to love one another because he knows he can control you, control love. Notice here 2 John 1 and verse 5. 2 John 1 and in verse 5. Here in 2 John 1 and verse 5 says, "And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which he heard from the beginning, that we love one another." You know, following through on your wedding vow decisions to love your mate, that is by committing yourself to give love that never fails. And we read in 1 Corinthians 13:8 in the New American Bible, "Love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away." So commitment produces endurance. 65 years of marriage. Commitment produces endurance. It's a fight. It isn't just something that's not gonna, you're not ever gonna have to battle to keep it on the right track. You know, you promised in a covenant with God on your wedding day to love your mate unto death. That's a long time. You know, pray daily to God for the power to love your mate and to keep that commitment in your mind constantly, daily. Don't let it slip away. Those wedding vows are important, and God made it very clear to be important for us to have paid attention to. Determining to allow nothing or no one, including yourself, to stop you from loving your mate, go to God and recommit yourself to loving your mate, to agape love your mate. Since agape is a willful commitment, to give your will and your commitment must be followed by action. Not just words flowing out of your mouth, but you have to put action with it. You cannot just get love, you can only give it, regardless of how little you receive. You know, you will always have love in your marriage because the quantity and the quality of love is dependent upon how much you give. That's the action part of that. How much are you willing to give? In an emergency, you know, you would not hesitate to sacrifice your life to save your mate. So are you willing to sacrifice your life daily by pushing aside your needs and wants to satisfy your mate, putting your mate's needs ahead of your own? It's a question you need to think about. And how is it scoring? So when you are tired, do you get up and serve instead of waiting to be served? So easy to want to just wait and be served. I got a lovely wife that serves me, and I appreciate that. And I know you do too, whoever's here on this phone hookup here today. You know, the Apostle Paul admonished God's called here in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, says to let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for your interest of others. Interest of your mates. You know, we all need to strive daily to reach that state. That is where fulfilling your mate's needs becomes next to your commitment to God and predominant need of your life. Give and you will have agape love. Give and you will have agape love. Keep mindful of, don't give to get. Don't give just to get. You know, you may be saying, well, my mate doesn't deserve my love. Agape love gives an imperfect person, yes, even an undeserving person. You know, how often has this conversation been repeated? I'll start with being a good husband when you start being a good wife. Or when you start being meek properly, then I'll submit. This is not the fruit of agape love. And it is that fruit that Satan just thrives on loving to push on to any one of us to cause a problem. You know, this love does not require the other person to change or to be perfect. You know, there are no conditions, no qualifications for the giving of agape. Jesus Christ, the perfect husband, and the only human who ever perfectly expressed agape love. You know, he gave his life for us while we were yet sinners. Ephesians 5:25 and Romans 5:8 reveals that to us. In Ephesians 5 and verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need to take those serious, especially if there's a problem in the marriage. You know, Christ did not require us to change first his love for unconditional. We must follow Christ's example, perfect example, of giving agape love. Willfully force yourself to give to your mate, even when you have wronged. Think about that. You know, by giving in spite of your mate's shortcomings, you will feel more positive toward your spouse. You know, Peter expressed the principles here in 1 Peter 4:8. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. Above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. That was in 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. Your unconditional love may cause a positive response in your mate. Attitude has a lot to do here with this that we're talking about. Although this should never be the motive that is forgiving, it tells us over here in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. You might want to turn there with me. 1 Peter 3. In verses 1 and 2. Therefore, in verse 1, it says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if anybody not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Well, they behold their chaste conversion coupled with fear. A lot is said in those two verses. So do not become disappointed. You know, it's easy to become disillusioned after giving and giving without any responses, not even a thank you. Those things can be sometimes very irritating, but it happens. You know, agape does not require love in return. Love does not give in order to get. That's not the kind of love we want to produce. Is it only looks out for ourselves in that order to get? You know, the Apostle Paul taught that if we give with expectations of getting in return, our love is vain. In 1 Corinthians 13, and in verse 3, there it reads, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have I not love, it profits me nothing." So removing expectation and then love will fill your heart, leaving no room for disappointment. I'm giving you a lot of things here to be thinking about, but it takes all of this together to get a higher score if we're going to be following God's instructions in a marriage. You know, Jesus Christ taught that the joy is in the giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive, Acts 20 and verse 35 tells us. Yet, at the same time, you can take heart from God's promise that if you faithfully and unselfishly give, you will eventually be rewarded. In other words, have a happy, happy marriage. In Luke 6 and in verse 38, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, for with the same measure that you use it will be measured back to you." So agape is the most powerful facet of love. Agape will carry your marriage through the most difficult trials. That's why this word is so important to follow up from God's word once it's been brought to our attention. And like I said, it's been a long time since that much speaking about it has been brought to our attention. You know, Solomon, in his love song, vividly expressed all the qualities of agape. Turn over here with me to a book that we don't read from very often, and that is the Songs of Solomon in chapter 8. I'll give you a minute here to turn over there. Songs of Solomon, chapter 8. I'll just pick up a couple verses there here to put into the sermon. Verses 6 and 7. It says, "Set me a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death, jealously as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised." So I don't know if this is raising any of your credit points by giving to your mate as we go through this sermon. I pray it is. The love expresses the word agape. You know, lovers belong to each other. They are one in God's eyes. As how many times has been mentioned in coming together here on God's Sabbath as a family, as one, as God says we are to do and be. Well, the second way to love your mate is with the love of belonging, which will bring you and your mate closer together. So the word belonging has a very strong advice from God to do. This love will add another point, I think, to your scoring and enriching your marriage. You know, God created marriage to be the closest human relationship to one another. Yet many married couples live together as strangers. A cold curtain of loneliness divides them as they go their separate ways each day. But what about your marriage? Do you live under the same roof, but as a stranger to one another? My wife just said, no, we don't. I'll just pass that on. You know, God did not intend husbands and wives to live together like a total strangers. He has a solution to that problem. Express and develop the love of belonging. The love is characterized by the bond of unity, companionship, and loyal devotion. Pretty heavy responsibility husbands and wives carry, each day of their lives. You know, the love of belonging shines brightest in older couples. They act like and think alike. Let me say that one more time. The love of belonging shines brightest in older couples. Now it's addressing me and my wife. They act alike and think alike. So I ask, have you become one? You know, the love of belonging is not just for older couples, but for all couples. You know, God created man with the need to belong. You know, God looked at all that he had made and saw that it was very good, according to Genesis 1:31. But when God looked at Adam, he saw something that was not good. It says, And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. So Adam was lonely. So God described the loving of belonging to cure Adam's problem. You know, God gave Adam a woman, that is Eve, to love. They were the first married couples to belong to one another. This need of belonging cannot be satisfied through any other person, be it a mother, father, sister, brother, only through your mate. In Genesis 2:24, there it says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Another part of the marriage ceremony that said, that sometimes I think is ignored, because all of a sudden we find people running back to their mom and daddy. But those are things that they need to work out the problem, having God's instructions to help them out. You know, agape is the only one can give the love of belonging to your mate. Accepting your mate the way that your mate is, not the way you would like him or her to be. A lot of leeway there in that thought. You know, our mate will not feel he or she belongs as long as he or she senses you are not satisfied with him or her. Feelings that God built into us when we were created. You know, emphasize the positive things about your mate. Emphasize the positive things about your mate. Make a list of all the good things. Think back to the time when you were engaged in dating and of all qualities you admired. The excitement. You know, you might be surprised to find those same qualities is still in your spouses today. Be constantly thinking on these good qualities today. Not negative ones, but the good, positive ones. Look and find more admirable qualities. That is, the love of belonging is making your mate feel accepted. That's something that's too often we don't. We get upset about something, and we have an argument, as you've been through them, I'm sure. If you've been married any time at all, even 1 or 2 days, it doesn't take long that all of a sudden you find there's something there that you don't agree with, that person is not agreeing with you or you're not with them. But we need to learn to grow and understand with your mate to push out your own concerns and concentrate on the concerns of your mate, be it husband or wife. It's a two-way thought. Seek total identification with your husband or wife. Immerse yourself in your mate's concerns. Feel your mate's hurts, knowing that it's so easy to hurt somebody, and especially your mate. You experience his or her frustrations. Talk things over and cleave to one another. Settle it. Don't let it keep going on. Settle it. But it takes communication, it takes talking, and it takes real love, agape, from the heart. So Apostle Paul encourages us to take upon ourselves one another's burdens. In Galatians 6 and in verse 2, it says, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So there is a law. It's a law. That was in Galatians 6 and in verse 2. But following our Lord's advice, one will become an emotional refugee for their mate, a hiding place where your mate can find warmth and shelter from the storms of life. You know, both will have a home in each other's hearts. In other words, there is no selfishness found. It's gone. You know, both will have a home in which each other's hearts will be towards one another, respecting one another, respecting the thoughts, respecting their actions and their doings for you and you for them. Respect both ways. Give them each other credit. You know, it's not easy. It's a real hard battle to fight. A marriage that lasts. But it can be done. And using God's word is definitely the answer to helping make it be done. You know, both will have a home for each other. Deep within the heart, agape. You know, your mate will have a place to belong, and the love of belonging will bring you closer together. In Genesis 2:24, God tells the marriage couples to cleave to each other. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." These are all in the marriage ceremony, if you remember. You know, the word cleave was translated from the Hebrew word dabikiu, which means to solder or to weld together. You know, the strong welding techniques is called brazing, in which two pieces of metal are welded together under intense heat. The molecules of the two metals became inseparable. They become as one. Where have we heard that term before? Become as one. You know, God compares the trials of life to a fire in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7. In 1 Peter 1 and in verse 7, he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found upon praise and honor and glory as the appearing of Jesus Christ. By cleaving to one another as you go through life's challenges, you will become one flesh. In Genesis 2:24, told us earlier, becoming one physical, mentally, and spiritually should be the goal of every married couple. very something that everybody should think about. Becoming one physically, mentally, spiritually should be the goal of every married couple. That's being of one, becoming one. Well, in the Songs of Solomon, the Shulamite bride expressed the love of belonging to her mate. Here in chapter 6 and in verse 3, it says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. You know, agape love and the love of belonging are the two legs upon which all marriages should stand. You know, they are the solid foundation every marriage should be standing on. Being one, making one's marriage unshakable. You know, to love and not to love, that is the question you alone hold the answer to. And you alone must willfully decide to start agape love and belonging to your mate. That's your responsibility. The power is in your hands. God has blessed us with that to make the right choice, Solomon. You know, lovers cherish each other. The Greek word philia describes the love of cherishing. You know, the word is used in the New Testament and designate brotherly love, fondness, affection, and cherishing. You know, this is a way to love your mate. The Apostle Paul clearly describes philia when he wrote, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, in honor. You know, Paul gives another reference to one another in Romans 12 and verse 10. There he said, be kindly affectionate one to another. This is all inspired from God's word that Paul passes on to us. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honoring, preferring one another. A lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom that we need to work on to have that wisdom. You know, cherish is the word we will use to describe philia, which cherish means to value highly, to hold in high esteem. And that's what we need to be doing with our mate, is holding them in high esteem and to value them highly. Physically, your mate should be the most valuable person in your life, and spiritually, the most valuable after God. You know, we all treat things of value with lots of attention and tender, loving care. If we do that with the treasured objects, shouldn't your mate receive even more cherishing, more attention, more tender, more loving care? As with all forms of love, you cannot get philia. You can only give love you can cherish. Cherishing is sharing. And in Romans 12:1, Paul describes the love of cherishing as brotherly love, brotherly sharing. In biblical times, married couples effectively referred to each other as sisters or brothers. We find that in Songs of Solomon in chapter 4 and verse 10, as well as chapter 8 and verse 1. You can just add that into your notes. Songs of Solomon 4 and verse 10, and in chapter 8 and verse 1. So how much sharing do you do with your mate? Think on that a second. How much sharing do you do with your mate? Do you share more with friends than you with your own wife or husband? Another thing to start thinking about, what's your score doing? Is it going up or is it going down here with a question like that? your whole life should be shared together in a pleasurable way. The main objective is that you have fun while sharing together, because you're one. Sharing is communicating with your mate. Your wives often complain that my husband doesn't talk to me. I've heard that in counseling before. Wives often complain, my husband doesn't talk to me. While husbands lament, all that she does is nag, nag, nag. Well, such statements are signs that neither partner is communicating effectively. You know, effective communication does not start with either listening or speaking. True communications, like true love, starts with giving, outgoing concern, agape, one going concern. Truly, that word agape comes in that picture again. You know, both must seek to understand this is a way not to get away. This is the give way, not to get way. You know, couples often do touch too much. Another little light subject here I'm not going to touch on here as we're winding things down here. Couples often touch too much when they are dating. I think that qualifies that statement I just made. But appear to be handcuffed after they marry. You know, lovers love to touch. It sends a message, I love you. It tells your mate, you are important to me. I cherish you. So the lack of touching conveys an exact opposite. You know, reaching out and touching your mate waves touching into the daily fabric of your life. You know, give your mate a warm hug in the morning. Sit close together at home or in a car. Reach over and lovingly hold hands. All things that we've all experienced. Think about the times when you touched your mate. Then touch, touch, touch in your mate's pleasure. You know, King Midas' touch turned everything to gold, but the loving touch turns everything to agape and to filial, outgoing love and cherishing love. Closeness, one together. So give your mate a hugging touch and you will be giving them a filial, a love of cherishing. Give your mate agape love, showing them your deep outgoing concern for them. You know, God wants husbands and wives to be lovers. Let me say that again. God wants husbands and wives to be lovers. Just listen to the marriage ceremony. All the way through there, it brings that statement together. Well, I ask here in closing, how did your life score? Because only you have the answer to that number that will be sitting there before you to look at. And with that, I'm going to turn services back to Mr. Fleming.